Hebrews. Sure. Hebrews chapter 12. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. He's give us good weather, give us a good situation, give us a field to work in. I hope that you've invited somebody this week. I hope and pray that God will be pleased to bless our efforts. You know, I pray that God would accept my service. He don't have to accept our service. He's sovereign. Now, he's got some promises that he will accept us if we do it by faith. So I praise him this morning. God has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So God give him charge of everything. And I got news for the world. He is really up in heaven right now. Now, I know he's a high priest for believers, but he's also running things. When he come up from the when he got up from the dead, he said, all power is given to me, both heaven and earth. That means he's in charge of first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. He's in charge of earth, and he's in charge of hell. He said in Revelation chapter 1, I have the key of death and of hell. And I pray this morning that he'll lock my lost children and grandchildren out of hell today. Because he's got the key to it. And he'll lock them out of death. I pray that he will. All right. Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I need to back up just a little bit because this chapter alludes to the chapter before it. And it so if I would go back to chapter 11 and start with, say, verse 37, where the writer here is talking about the people of faith in the past. He's talking about people that's already made a record of faith. He's talking about that. He said, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, how? Through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, the word perfect also means whole. So the family of God is not made whole without us. It don't mean that we have something to do with those people of faith from a standpoint that we preach to them or we witness to them, but God in the family of faith has got a completed body when he gets back. So they're not made whole without us. However, the writer here is extolling these old people of faith. And if you will study religious history, especially Baptist history, you will find some of these people that endured the things that he talked about right here in verse 37 and 38. They endured it. And praise God that we've got the United States Constitution. Our forefathers were wise enough to make us a constitution that every office holder swears to uphold when they go into office. Now let me say something to you. I'm not teaching a history lesson this morning, but let me say what the Constitution mainly does. The Constitution mainly keeps government from treating you as bad as they always have in history. When you go look back in history, the kings and the despots that ruled people, they had the power of life and death in their hands. And the Constitution prohibits the government from mistreating you. That's basically what it is. And without it, despots always mistreat people. They can't help it. The power corrupts them. And they finally even get in, and they do it in all the countries. They're doing it today in a lot of countries. They prohibit you from loving God. You see? And you say, well, what is that? That's Antichrist power. You know, when John wrote 1 John, he said there's Antichrist already. And they've always been, but now they're going to come forward. Now, Paul said in Thessalonians, that day shall not come except there be a falling away. And I told you last Sunday, let me tell you again, the falling away is to Christian people, and the falling away is to the world. You say, well, how does the world fall away from God? Well, not in salvation, but they fall away from Him in moral and respectability. Can I say this to you? When I was growing up in a rural farm area, we had lost men that would not farm on Sunday. When I was a teenager, you could go to the county seat where we lived, and you could not buy anything because everything was closed, including the gas stations. Everything was closed. Okay, now why did they do that? It did not save them, but they had a sense of God. They had a sense of responsibility toward God. That sense was over our country at that time. See, that's been a long time ago. Well, where's that sense of responsibility towards God now? I reckon every business that wants to be open is open today. So there is a falling away of mankind from receiving God. And of course, there's a falling away of the church. Used to have 70 and 80 in church, and now we're fortunate we can get 30. You see? And so Paul said, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Yeah. All right, now let me get back to the lesson. He is talking about the people of faith in chapter 11. All right, now starting at chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. All right, now who's the witnesses? The people in chapter 11. They are witnesses of faith. Okay? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay? What's he saying here? What's he saying? He's saying, seeing that these people under the Old Testament and the people that he talked about in chapter 11, seeing that they did such a good job of faith, what are me and you doing? See? How are we running our race? See? And so he admonishes us, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Excuse me. The race that is set before us, thank you. The race that is set before us. Now, what is set before us? As Christian people, what is set before us? It's carrying on the work of God. Yes. Carrying it on. Now, we hand out tracts. I handed out a few at Walmart this week, and one lady promised me, her and her children, that they'd be here. Well, they didn't show up. Am I supposed to be depressed? See? Now, I know when we hand out tracts, you know, I hand it to them hoping that God will take it and use it. But if he don't use it, it's going by the wayside. But Jesus didn't tell me and you to be successful. He told us to show up. You see what I mean? And so I hope and I pray that it will cause people to come here. And Brother Chris and I have been dealing with a family, and the lady and one of the daughters are here. They got more, but I guess they're feeling us out. I don't know. We've helped them out a little bit, and so they're here this morning. And I hope and pray that lady, we visited her home. They don't seem to be dope people. We didn't see the evidence of any dope. But they had a need, and Brother Chris and I supplied some of that, and we did it in the name of the church. So if they happen to say thank you for helping, you'll know what happened. Brother Chris and I did it in the name of the church. But what I'm getting at is that God does not promise us to be successful in any all endeavors that we do. Now our flesh don't understand that. We'd like to go to our kin folks and say, y'all to come to church. Okay. And we'd like for them to say, yeah, I'll be there. And they come. And we'd like for them to get saved. But in the day of the falling away, it just don't work that way. See? I say this all the time. Eve ate and gave to Adam, and he did eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See? Good and evil. And I believe, I teach, when good things rise, for instance, you got an air conditioner. My granddaddy didn't have an air conditioner. If we went to church, he got in a wagon and drove mules, however distance it was, and they endured that. Man, you got air conditioners, plus some more things. But we got something else. We got something else they didn't have. What is it? Wickedness. Well, I'm talking about our grandfathers. See? But they didn't have the physical competition for people going to church that me and you that we got explained today. See? Right. Right. You can do all the witnessing you want to do, and that's good. But if God don't accompany it, it's not gonna avail anything. You see what I mean? Now God promised that He would be with us. See? But when you get to judgment seat, and you have reached out to people, and they said no, and they said no, and they said no. I don't believe that's going to be against you.
Oh, no.
That'll be for you.
Right.
Can I say this to you? Now listen carefully. Most of the people that Jesus Christ preached to did not get saved.
Right.
Most of the people Apostle Paul preached to did not get saved.
Right.
So what he's doing, what we're hearing right here in this verse, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See? You say, well, what is the sin that so easily beset us? I think, you don't have to agree with this, I think it's different things for different people. See? You got some problems I don't have. I got some problems you don't have. But just don't let whatever it is hold you up. See, don't let it hold you up. Why? Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. See, now I think what he's talking about witnesses, that when we get over yonder, there will be some the Lord will have some some gatherings, and there will be some witnesses that will give forth witness. See, I think, you don't have to agree with this, I think in the millennial, a lot of things are going to be rerun for our enjoyment. I think that. You don't have to agree with that. I mean, would you like to see Paul and Silas in prison and tell that Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about a rerun on TV. I don't know how the Lord's going to do that. But I think that's going to be some of the things that we'll enjoy. So, seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight.
The Bible says that every man is tempted when he's drawn away from his own lust.
Yes, sir.
All those have different lusts in our minds.
Right.
In our lives.
Right.
And that's one we have to die to. That's one, and that's a prevalent thing in our lives that try to hinder us from serving God. But you're going to have to die daily to it if you're going to serve God.
It's true. That's true. Can I say this to you? Every time that you purpose in your heart to talk to somebody about the Lord or to hand out tracts, the devil is always going to be there saying, it ain't going to do no good.
Every time.
Every time.
Every single time.
Every time. So when you overcome that, see, you're doing what he has asked us to do right here. Now, I understand that I need to hand out tracts and I need to talk to people and I need to do it prayerfully. I don't need to say, well, I'm going out and hand out 100 tracts today, bam, 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 bam. And look how great I am. That won't work. We need to, you know, and I just pray, Lord, here it is, use it if you will. See, like I said a while ago, he's got all power in heaven and earth. But there are some successes. Let me and you look at ourselves. Somebody witnessed or preached to you.
Amen.
Well, what about you? Well, it didn't take for a while. I mean, how many of you, the first time you heard the gospel, repented and trusted Christ? Raise your hand. The first time. Nobody? Well, what's my point? My point is God visits whom he will. Now, I'm not a hard sell. But Jesus says, no man come unto me except my Father which is in heaven draw him. See, now, that's not hard shell either, because John said in chapter 1 of John, he cometh into the world and he lighteth every man that cometh in the world.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? That's right. It means every man from a standpoint of the human race has got an opportunity to go, and one preacher preached it like this, and I think it's right. And I told a fellow this the other day. I said, when God gives you some light, whatever it is toward him, walk toward the light and God will give you more light. See what I mean? Now, whenever and wherever you were saved, you walked towards the light previous to that. I mean, some way, somehow, and I don't know, there's six of us in here, and I don't know how many times you were preached to before you repented, but there come a time, you know, life had its pathway, and you and I were in it, but we didn't respond the first time that we got a calling, probably. Now, maybe some people do, and I'm not against that. But what I'm saying is that God gives light to every man. I had one fellow say, what about them people in Africa? God give them enough light that if they ask God in faith, he will send them a missionary or send them away to come over to where there is preaching going on. I've seen a few of them come over here and get saved. Not many, but a few. You see what I mean? All right. Okay, now I've been talking about what we do for the Lord, do it by faith. Look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See? Looking unto him. In other words, that's a daily thought process, if I could say it that way, or a daily spiritual dealing that we should have. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Boy, that's a big verse right there. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See? These people that depend on papas that look like mamas that's got robes on and tell you they can forgive sin, that's of the devil. They cannot forgive sin. I was talking to a fella and I said, I asked him, I said, well, you go to church? He said, yeah, some. I said, well, what are you? He said, I'm a Catholic. He said, what are you? I said, I'm an Independent Baptist. He said, okay. And he kind of wanted to talk to me like Nicodemus wanted to talk to Jesus a little bit, you know. Well, you know, we're both going to heaven. We're both religious. And that's really what Nicodemus was doing to Jesus. He come to Jesus by night and said, Master, we know that thou art from God for the miracles you do and all that. And Jesus didn't say, yeah, Nick, you're a pretty good guy. We'll all meet in heaven. He said, Nick, you must be born again. Right away. You see? And so what Nicodemus was doing, he was saying, I'm a man of God and you're a man of God. Let's see if we can get together. Jesus had nothing to do with that. And that's what me and you need to do. We need to have nothing to do with that. Because one religion don't go up the north side of a mountain. Another religion go up the east side. Another go up the south side. Another go up the west side. And we all meet in heaven. You ever hear that philosophy? I've heard it. It don't work that way. In fact, going to heaven is not climbing a mountain. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. So the writer here said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See? He's the beginning of faith, and he's the ending of faith. See? All right? Who? For the joy that was set before him. Now, I think you can get a little bit of glimpse of what he's saying if you go back and read John chapter 17. John chapter 17. I won't go there today, but he is saying, Father, give me the glory that I had with you before the world was. And Jesus, by faith, and he was God, he knew that he had to endure the cross. And the cross not only was tormented, not only was cruelty in its worst shape, but it was shameful. Now, I appreciate these people, if they're going to draw Jesus on the cross, they put a loincloth around him. I appreciate that. But that ain't really the way it happened. Jesus was crucified naked. Because they gambled for his underclothes. And he was naked. I mean stark naked when they crucified him. So, he despising the shame, but now, boy, you know, Peter came to him and said, Lord, you're not going to the cross. We want you to throw these Romans off. I'm paraphrasing. That's what he meant. You say, well, I don't much think. Well, it said another scripture, and I can turn to it. I not right now. I think it's in Luke. It said, they hoped that he had come to start the kingdom immediately. They hoped that. I think that's in Luke. I think it's where the two was on the road to Emmaus. They said, we hoped that he'd come. In other words, in English language, we hoped he'd come to throw Rome off like the judges did, throws out the Amalekites. See, that's what they knew. And so when Peter said, Lord, you're not going to the cross, he said, get thou behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God. What was he telling Peter? I have got to go to the cross. It's ordained of me. And of course, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know the story. And his manly flesh said, Father, if it be any way other than this, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So he was telling Peter, I have to drink this cup. And he foreknew that it would be with shame. And he foreknew it would be with cruelty. But see, in John chapter 17, I believe it is, he said, Father, I desire the glory I had with you before the world was. See? And so for the joy that was set before him. See? Now when he rose from the dead, he had entered into his joy. Now not all he's going to get, but it started. He was back with the Father. And he went to the Father. And according to Hebrews chapter 9, he took his blood. Now, I don't know if that was literal blood. I don't know if it was, in the spirit. But it said this man had somewhat to offer also. For he entered into that, the veil, which was in heaven, with his own blood. See? So his blood that was shed at Calvary was for our salvation. It was the atoning blood for mankind, spirit and soul. So for the joy set before him. Now I think the writer is trying to tell me and you that we need to think of the joy set before for us. See? And Jesus said in that John chapter 17, he said, Father, I will that those thou hast given me be with me in eternity, is what he's saying, and behold my glory. Now, your mind can run away with you. And you can think of the city. It's got 12 foundations and got high walls. And you can think of all that, and you can think of being there. But your mind cannot grasp the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And Paul said that. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Has not entered into the mind of man. I have not seen, neither ear heard, things that God's prepared for them that love him. So we cannot comprehend the joy that we're going to enjoy when we get over yonder. So he said, again, in verse 2 here, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, would you think with me just a minute when Jesus was tempted up on the mountain and Satan said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms for their mind to give who I will. And at that time, they were. Well, Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship God, and him only shall thou worship. Well, what was he doing right there? He was resisting a temptation that the devil gave him to be king of the world right now. Now, I know you could do a lot of speculation on that, but he was basically saying, no, I'm going to endure. I'm going to preach here 3.5 years. And I'm going to endure the cross, and I'm going to obey God the Father, because I am going to get all these kingdoms someday. Now, right now, and I say this pretty often, we don't understand. We preach God's in charge of everything, and you'll have people run up to you all the time. God's in charge of everything. Why is it so wicked? Well, God has always let sin run its course. Did not he tell one of the fathers, I don't remember if it was Abraham or Jacob, one of them, and he said, I'm going to send you down to a foreign country and you're going to be down there 430 years and I'm going to give you this land because the iniquity of the Amorites are not yet full. Did he say that?
Yes.
He did say that. Okay, can I submit to you that the iniquity of the Gentiles is not yet full? That's up to God. See? And you know, these people say, well, why hadn't God already done something? Well, I think, you don't have to agree with this, I think he's waiting for people to get saved that's going to get saved. One preacher preached this, and it's probably right. He said, when the last Gentile gets saved, God's going to cut it off. Well, I don't know when that is, and you don't either. But God is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. See, you say, well, there's a lot of tares. Oh, I know there's a lot of tares, but there's some fruit also. All right. All right, let's go down to verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Now, that's a good scripture to us, isn't it? See, let me say again, when you load your mind up to go out and do something for the Lord, whatever it is, you know, you're going to have resistance. See? But he said, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Did Jesus have resistance? All the time. All the time. Did he get up about 3 years of preaching and say, man, there ain't hardly anybody believing in him. Me, I'm going to quit this stuff and go back to heaven. Is that what he said? You see the point? Am I making a point?
Yes, yes.
You see what I mean? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. See? And sometimes we do faint, don't we? Sometimes we faint in the work of the Lord. See? We faint. We say, well, I just can't do what I was going to do. I just, you know. And this includes worship. It includes witnessing. It includes reaching out.
Yes.
It includes your daily life. Hello? You have problems in your daily life. You don't know how to handle them. See? But consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And that's true of us, isn't it? Now, you may have had somebody cuss you. You may have had somebody slam a door in your face. But they hadn't stuck you with a sword yet. Now, they might, but they hadn't done it yet. And so he's saying, hey, you know, I think what he's saying here, and would y'all allow me to say this? I think what he's saying here is, you ain't got it near as rough as them people that was in the mountains that lived in goat skins, and you ain't got it near that rough. So why don't you endure? I think that's what he's saying to us. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now what's he saying there? He's saying that in our dispensation, saved people have got an unction about how to live. And probably, if you are like me, when you were a young Christian, you could get away with a few things that was not in the will of God. But the older you get, the more that God requires of us. That's your everyday life. That's your witnessing. That's your resisting sin. See? But now, when you have a thought that you shouldn't have, is there something that reminds you of it? Something reminds you, well, you shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have thought that, shouldn't have said that. Do you have that? You see what he's saying here? And he said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when they are rebuked of him. See? Now I think I know a few people that has fainted at the rebuke of the Lord. See? Now I don't know how God's going to deal with that. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that some were mistaking the Lord's Supper and some of them slept because of it. They were abusing the Lord's Supper. See? And if you go to, is it Acts chapter 5? The couple that came in and lied about how much money they was giving the church. See? And the Lord took them out. So he's saying here, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now God chastens his children. And I think God is like a father. Those of you that's got children, you know that you cannot deal with every child exactly alike. There's some it surrenders pretty quick. And there's some it takes a little more bearing down on to get them to surrender. Is that right? But everybody's got chastening. And so we say here that he is talking about this on us that belongs to the Lord, you know. And let me say this to you. The Lord expects us to live morally. Now, living morally don't save you, but it lets those around you know what kind of faith towards God you got. Now, let me give you an example. If you saw me late one Tuesday evening, for instance, and you was driving down the street and you saw me coming out of a liquor store with a sack in my hand, what would your thought of me be? You would say, that hypocrite. Would you not? You see what? And so, good morals is required of us for our standing with God, and not only that, but our standing without. Did you know the Bible says, pertaining to a bishop, that he must have a good report within and without? You see what I mean? And Christians ought to have a good report within and without too. See? Now, can I say this to me and say it to you? What does the people that live around you think about your Christianity? Huh? See what I mean? I'm not pressing anybody. I'm just saying, he's saying here, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So the Lord wants me and you to live like a Christian. Why? You say, well, it is so people can, he said, Jesus said, let your works so shine among men that they might see your good works and glorify the fathers in heaven. Now, if you're drinking and doing stuff like that and everybody knows it, how are you going to have a witness for the Lord? They're not going to accept your witness. They're going to call you a hypocrite. You see what I mean? So we do have chastening if we don't do right and we don't do the things the Lord told us to do. And so, all right, I think I will close right here because I'm about out of time, and I hope and pray that this has been something you could use, and I hope that the Lord will use it for all of us, for His glory and honor.